And actually, before we get into the talk tonight, I was just thinking as we were singing this one song, and I'm trying to find it. That second song we sang, there was just those recurring lines about your name, your name, your name. Your name is a light that the shadows can't deny. Your name cannot be overcome. Your name is alive, forever lifted high. Your name cannot be overcome. My thought went to, I thought of Psalm 9, verse 10, where it says, "And those who know your name put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you." And I just had just another thought. It goes back to the passage from the call to worship from Jeremiah. Just another encouragement. Those who know God's name put their trust in him. And in Scripture, a lot of times when the Bible refers to God's name, or it says his name is this, his name is that, name was sort of a shorthand way to sort of capture all that God is. God's name represents him, represents his character, represents, you know, who he is, and that those who know his name, in other words, those who know who God really is, put their trust in him. And so just another encouragement tonight, if you're here tonight and it's, that's just not what you can say about yourself. It's like, I think about God and I don't really think about my life trusting him. It's not really, I don't know that I do trust the Lord. I would say, and I would argue that it's because you don't really know who he is, and that if you did really, truly know who he is, or if you're just having a hard time trusting the Lord with your life, my encouragement to you is dig deeper into who God is. Study his word. God, what do you say about yourself, about why I should trust you, about your character, about your who you are and what you've done for me through your son, Jesus, because the scriptures say that those who know your name put their trust in you. And it comes with sort of that secondary promise as well, that as you put your trust in him, the Lord does not forsake those who seek him. And so it's you even have God's invitation to come and to know him and to dig deeper into who he is. So just an encouragement. I just thought of that as we were singing together. Transitioning now, as I mentioned up front, I did tonight, guys, I wanted to talk just a little bit about the topic of friendship. And one of the reasons that got me sort of thinking about this is because when I did the talk that was like a month ago now. But when we talked about teens and technology, if you remember that, how our phones and social media, how all that stuff is affecting us. One of the things that I mentioned in that talk is how it can often create sort of this sense of friendship, or sort of this illusion of friendship, because maybe you've got all these likes or followers, or we're sort of in that social media world, that it can create an illusion of friendship without the real thing. And so I was just sort of thinking about that, and I thought, you know, it might actually be good to talk about that if we don't want to settle for a sense of friendship or an illusion of friendship, but we actually want the real thing, what might that be? Like, what's the difference between the illusion of friendship and friendship that's the real thing, right? What does that look like? How should you think about friendship? What makes for friendship? And so tonight, I just want to ask three questions in particular for our time together tonight. So three questions. What's the big deal about who my friends are? Right, question number one, what's the big deal about who my friends are? Secondly, what kind of friends should I have? And then thirdly, what kind of friends should I be? Right, so what's the big deal, right, about who my friends are? What kind of friends should I have? And then what kind of friends should I be? So let's start off with, hey, what's the big deal about who my friends are? And the number one thing I think that I would say about this is that it's a big deal because whether you realize it or not, or whether you believe it or not, and I think not everybody believes this, and I'm about to talk about this here in a second, but whether you realize it or not, whether you believe it or not, your friends and your choice of friends have the incredible potential to influence you. Right? And to do it more often, much more than you think, right? They have it's a big deal who your friends are because they have this incredible potential to influence you, and oftentimes much more than you are aware of or much more than you actually think. Now, what's funny about me saying that and about that particular point is that sometimes I actually find teens to be a bit defensive about this. I remember when I was 13, 14, 15 years old, I was very defensive about this, especially when my parents wanted to talk to me about it, as if, nah, not me. Right, not me. Somehow I was the exception. I am above the influence. I am not swayed by the opinions of others. I am above the peer pressure. I don't give in to peer pressure. I am my own person. I am not influenced. I know how to stand my ground. So I just remember being very defensive. But the fact of the matter, let's just get real for a second. Right, social media, quote unquote, influencers would not be popular or rich, right, if everybody was so above the influence like they think they are. I was just thinking about this. The fact that we have an entire category of people today simply known as influencers ought to say a whole lot about teenagers' ability to be influenced by others. It just stuns me. We call these people influencers. There's an entire category. It's like, hey, you know, what do I want to be when I grow? I know, I want to be an influencer. You know, it's crazy to me. But even more importantly than sort of that phenomenon, God's word, right, which is always right and is always true and always accurate, informs us. God's word informs us that your friends have the incredible potential to influence you. To influence you either in a good way or to influence you in a bad way. So, for example, Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20 says, might be a familiar verse to some, that he who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. Right? He who walks with the wise grows wise. He who is a friend with the wise grows wise, but a companion, a friend of fools suffers harm. So, according to God's word, right, make no mistake about this, your choice of friends will either, okay, God says your choice of friends will either be a source of good in your life or your friends will be a source of harm in your life, right? Either influencing you toward wisdom or influencing you toward foolishness, right? And sometimes I think especially teens can think, and I've sort of already said this, that there's some kind of neutral ground here, right? It's just, come on. I mean, it's like me and my friends, okay, yeah, sure, we hang out. We joke around, we do stuff, we spend time together, but it's not like they're really influencing me one way or the other. I mean, that's a pretty stark contrast you're making here. So they're either affecting me toward good or they're affecting me toward bad. They're influencing me toward wisdom. They're influencing me toward foolishness. I mean, isn't there like some kind of middle or neutral ground here, right? Or the pool maybe isn't so stark like you're describing it. And I think sometimes we can think that, but I want to challenge you on this point that the influence is never really neutral. Not like you think. And maybe a good illustration for this is I think if you compare it maybe to the tides of the ocean, right? That if you, I'm sure most of us have probably been to the beach, right? That despite what it might seem, right, if you're just sort of looking at it casually, right, the tides are never neutral, are they? Right, they're either being pulled toward low tide or they are being pulled toward high tide constantly. Right, they're always being pulled one way or the other. It's always moving in one direction. It's never standing still, right? There's actually no neutral. Although sometimes it looks like it, right, because you can't see it moving, right, the influence of, you know, gravity and the moon and how the tides work, right, the influence is almost imperceptible, right, it's just happening so slowly, but what happens, right, over the course of several hours, you suddenly realize, no, something's moving, right? When you finally notice that your beach towel is either closer to the water than when it first started, or it's farther away from the water than you first started, all of a sudden you realize, no, the tide was always moving, right? And that's exactly the kind of influence I think our friends have on us. Might not always look like it, might not always be perceptible to you, but they do pull us in one direction or another, whether you're aware of it or not, whether you perceive it or not. There's really no neutral. So Because your friends are always sort of pulling you in one direction or another, right? On the one hand, that can be a really good thing, right? So on the one hand, there is wonderful potential in our friendships to be influenced toward what is good, right? Right? He who walks with the wise, he who is a friend of the wise, grows wise, right? That's a really good thing, right? Your friends have the potential to influence you toward wisdom, right? Thank God for that. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12 says, two are better than one, right? It's good to have a friend. Why? Well, it goes on. Because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up, but pity the man who falls down and has no one to help him up, right? In other words, a good friend, right, can pick us up, right, can get us going again. A good friend can encourage us. They can comfort us. They can get us moving in the right direction. And praise God for good friends like that. Right? Who can do that? Proverbs 27, verse 17. Right? As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Right? So a good friend can sharpen you. A good friend can shape you. A good friend can mold you. A good friend can sort of be this influence that's molding you, shaping you, sharpening you into the kind of person that God desires you to be. That's a good thing. Praise God for the influence of friends like that. But of course, right, there's a flip side to all of this, right? There's just as much potential to be influenced in the opposite direction by your friends. And Scripture makes that quite clear, right? Right? He who walks with the wise grows wise, but, right, on the flip side, right, a companion or a friend of fools suffers harm, right? In other words, bad friends, right, pick bad friends, have bad friends, right, hang around bad friends, and you're going to pay the price. There's going to be consequences. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33 says, do not be misled. Right, bad company corrupts good character, right? And so because of that, God warns us. God sort of gives examples of this. So, for example, in Proverbs chapter 4, God says, do not set foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the way of evil men, right? Don't be friends with them. Why? Right, avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn from it, right? Go on your own way, right? It's like Scripture saying, don't pick bad friends, right? In Proverbs 22, God says, in the paths of the wicked lie thorns and snares, but he who guards his soul stays far away from them, right? Don't have those kinds of friends, right? Avoid the kinds of friends that are going to lead you in a direction that is in the opposite direction in the things that God's calling you to. Right, surround yourself with foolish friends, and you will inevitably pay a price for that. You will. I mean, I could give you lots of illustrations of growing up, but J.C. Ryle, I'll let him speak instead. Right, J.C. Ryle is probably one of my favorite old dead guys, pastor, preacher, theologian from the 19th century. He had this to say about friendships, but it's just as relevant today. I read this and I thought, man, he could have said this yesterday, right? Just as relevant today as when he first said it 150 years ago. But he says this. He says, believe me that there is no telling the harm that is done by associating with godless companions and friends. The devil has few better helps in ruining a man's soul. You must remember that we are all creatures of imitation, right? Meaning we're all easily influenced, right? We're all creatures of imitation. Precept may teach us, but it is example that draws us. So, without our being aware of it, friends influence our tastes and opinions. We gradually give up what they dislike and take up what they like in order to become closer friends with them. And worst of all, we catch their ways in things that are wrong far quicker than in things that are right. Health, unhappily, is not contagious, but disease is. Good friends are among our greatest blessings. They may keep us back from much evil, quicken us in our course, speak a word in season, draw us upward and draw us onward. But a bad friend is a positive misfortune, a weight continually drawing us down, chaining us to earth. Keep company with a bad friend, and it is more than probable you will in the end become like him. That is the general consequence of all such friendships. The good tend to go down to the bad, and the bad do not tend to come up to the good. Be very careful then how you choose your friends. So, what's the big deal, right, about who your friends are? Well, it's a big deal because your friends have a much greater influence or a much greater potential to influence you than you think. Right? So that then I think naturally leads to the second question, doesn't it? And that is, okay, well then what kind of friends should I have? Right? What kind of friends should I have? And I think there's a lot of ways you could answer this, right? There's a lot of sort of good answers that we could put out there. But here's my attempt to give you a good answer to that question. I would say this. Have friends, right, or seek friends, look for friends, find friends, right? Pursue friends that are committed to running the race. Right? Friends that are committed to running the race. Now, running the race is a spiritual metaphor. Right? It's used in a number of places in the Bible, right? And it's used to talk about, right, the life of faith that God has called us to following Jesus. Right, so it's a spiritual metaphor for that life, right? The life God has called us to following Jesus, this life of faith, right? That it's like running a race, right? So Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 in particular, we read this. Again, probably a familiar verse to a lot of you guys. It says, let us throw off everything, right? Even bad friends or bad influences included. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. See, guys, everybody's running after something. Everybody's running after something, right? Everybody's living for something. Everybody's chasing something. Everybody's running after something. But in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said, you could take it all. Or you could take every possible sort of thing that people are running after and chasing and living for. You could take it all, and when you boil it all down, everybody ultimately is living their life running on one of two paths. Right? And that's it. Right? It all boils down to two paths, and you're either running on one or you are running on the other one. One path, Jesus said, is a broad path. Right? And those who are on it are running toward their own destruction. And the other is a narrow path, and those who are on that path are running toward life. That was Jesus' assessment. We're all running, right? But you're running ultimately either on one or two of those two paths, one or the other, right? A broad path that leads to destruction, a narrow path that leads to life. And so when it comes to friendship, right, God's word consistently exhorts us to have friends who are committed to running on that narrow path that leads to life. Right, look for friends like that. Pursue friends who are committed to that, right? And there's a couple ways that you can tell who those kinds of friends are, because you might wonder, okay, how do I know who those friends are? Well, the Bible gives us some things to sort of evaluate that. In Psalm 119, verse 63, David says this. David says, I am a friend to all who fear you and to all who keep your precepts. And the you that David is referring to there is the Lord, right? So we could restate it. I am a friend to all who fear the Lord, right? And to all who keep the Lord's precepts. Right? In other words, those who are on that narrow path running toward life, right? The kinds of friends that I should want to run with, I can tell who they are. Right, because they're the kind of friends who live their life with a fear of God, meaning that they live their life, right, aware of God, right, with a desire to honor God, this reverence for God, this respect for God and his ways. There's a God-centeredness to them, right? Who the Lord is actually matters to them, right? That what God says, right, is important, right? Because they want their life, they want their choices, they want their behavior, they want their speech, they want how they think to honor God. And so they want to run in the direction that God's word is calling them to run. And the reason they want to run in that direction is because they actually believe God's word, that there is life at the end of that race. And that's what they want. They believe what God says. They want to run in a certain direction, because to run in the other direction is to run toward destruction, but to run in the way that God is calling, there's life at the end of that race. And they want to run in that direction. 2 Timothy, another sort of tool here. Who are friends like this? Well, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22, Paul says to Timothy, Timothy, flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, right? You can almost hear the spiritual metaphor of running, right? Even though he doesn't say run, but you sort of hear the language, right? Flee, run away from sin, run away from this stuff over here and pursue, right? Run after these things. But then I love the last part of this verse. Don't miss it. Because at the very end of the verse, right, flee the evil desires of youth, right? Pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. But then at the end, he says, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Right? In other words, Timothy, don't run by yourself. Run with friends who are running in the same direction. Run with friends who are running away from sin. Right? They're running away from the evil desires of youth, and they're running toward the things God has called them to. They're running toward righteousness. They're running after faith. They're running after peace. They're running after love. They're running after a deeper relationship with God. Timothy, run with people who are running like that. Those are the kinds of friends that you want to surround yourself with, friends who are running like that. Again, to quote J.C. Ryle, right? He called those kinds of friends that are good for your soul. Right? And then he said this. He says, try. And gang, listen, you got to try. Okay, so I'm asking you, try. Try to realize the fact that your soul is that part of you which ought always to be first considered. Okay, try to realize this, that nothing is good for you which injures your soul. No friend, no companion deserves your confidence who makes light of your soul. One thing only God does look at, and that is the never-dying soul. He measures all men by one standard, one measure, one test, and that is the condition of their souls. Do not forget this, and never be satisfied with the friendship of anyone who will not be good for your soul. Right? So, find friends. Right, pursue friends, right, who care about your soul. Right, friends who don't take your soul lightly. Friends who are good for your soul. Friends who will help you run the race that leads to life. You find friends like that. But let me end by challenging you, right, to walk out of here tonight, not mainly sitting around wanting, right, those kinds of friends, not mainly sitting around and sort of waiting for those kinds of friends to come to you. I want to challenge you not to walk out of here mainly thinking about that. Instead, I want to challenge you to walk out of here committed to being that kind of friend. Right? Not just sort of sitting around waiting, if only I had friends like that. Where are they? You know? Well, I'm waiting. No, let me challenge you. Walk out of here tonight with this primary commitment. I want to be that kind of friend, right? So naturally, that sort of brings us to the final question, right? Well, what kind of friend should I be? Well, I'll put it to you this way. The very same kind of friends you should look for, right, that you should have, that you should pursue, right? Friends who are committed to running the race that leads to life, right? Friends who are following Jesus, friends that are good for your soul, friends that want to run away from sin and run toward, you know, faith and righteousness, friends who want to pursue a deeper relationship with God. Those friends that you should be pursuing is exactly the kind of friend you should be. It's not a double standard here. Right? The onus really is on you, right? To be a friend, right? To be the one who's willing to challenge your other friends. Right, to speak up, right, the friend who is willing to make things awkward if need be, right, to make things uncomfortable if need be, right, when your friends are being fools, to say to them, hey, guys, that's not the direction I want to run in. That's not the direction we want to run in. And listen, because I love you, and because I care about your soul, and because you matter to me, and because I believe God's word leads us to life, we need to run in a different direction together. Right? Let's run after the things that God has called us to. Let's seek Jesus together. Right? Let's not participate in each other's destruction. Right? Let's not pull each other down. Let's lift each other up. Right? Let's run after God together. Let's find life together. And see, sometimes, gang, sometimes in order to have those kinds of friends, it's going to take you willing to be that kind of a friend. to be that kind of a friend. Right, Jesus said in John 15, verse 13, and we'll sort of move toward a close here. But Jesus said in John 15, 13, that greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Right, which means, right, that actually being friends with somebody involves more than just sort of having their acceptance or having their approval, right? Right. It means actually laying down your life for one another. Now, Jesus obviously was going to do that literally. He was going to do that physically. He was literally going to lay down his life. But oftentimes for us in the sort of the natural course of our friendships, sort of laying down our lives for one another is often going to take the form of laying down your pride, right? Sort of laying down what's comfortable, or laying down what's easy, or laying down what's superficial, right? And loving somebody enough to be the kind of friend who says, listen, your soul matters more to me than your approval. Your soul matters more to me than your acceptance. I'm willing to risk your disapproval and not have your, I am, because your soul matters to me, I'm willing to risk both of those things. And I want to be the kind of friend who says the hard things, who sometimes has to make the hard choices, but I want to run the race and I want to make it to the finish line, right? And I want friends that are going to help each other get there, right? That we're not going to trip each other up in sin. We're not going to be the cause of stumbling, right? No, instead, we're going to cheer each other on. We're going to encourage each other in the truth. Right? We're going to reach the finish line together so that we can hear Jesus say, well done, together. Father, I pray that I just pray for those kinds of friendships in this room to begin to grow and develop and flourish here. Father, the teenage years are hard because there's all this. And Father, sometimes we're so proud we don't want to admit it, or sometimes we're just not self-aware enough to even know it or realize it, but there's all this pressure for approval and acceptance and the desire to fit in. And Father, sometimes those things trump the things that really matter. And so, Lord, I do pray. I pray for every young person in this room tonight that they would cherish friendships that are about running the race you've called us to run. I pray for young men and young women who are courageous enough, and I pray that you would grant that courage. I pray that you would grant that strength to be the kind of friend who says, let's run the race together. Father, I pray that there would be friendships in this room where people genuinely, they love one another enough that their friend's soul matters more to them than anything else, more than their acceptance, more than their approval. And so, Father, I do pray for those in this room that need to say hard things, or those in this room who need to make hard choices with their friends. But, Father, I pray that they would do it. And, Father, I pray that the overall effect would be not that we would be the cause of one another stumbling or that we would be pulling one another down, but I pray that there would be young men and young women in this room who are cheering each other on, Lord, lifting each other up, running together, and that want to cross that finish line together, Lord, to hear you say, well done. So, Father, would you grant that tonight? I pray that there would be some deep, heartfelt, thoughtful reflection on these things. Lord, would you grant the blessing of true friendship in this room? I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, love you guys. Anybody wants to talk more about that at some point, be happy to do that. You guys sort of want to chat. Hey, I've got a friend, you know, this situation, what do you think? Be more than happy to talk with you.